Today on Annenberg Radio News.
It was fast money. It was a lot of money. I could eat like $900 in one house or more.
We hear from a high schooler who gave up crime to pursue boxing. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. I'm Graham Clark. A car chase took place in the USC neighborhood this afternoon. The suspect is believed to have stolen a van near campus. The driver started on the 110 freeway, then got off in South LA, speeding through intersections without stopping. The van struck a police car head-on and continued driving. The van finally stopped when police put spike strips on the road, flattening the van's tires. The police pursued the driver on foot. We've all heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. The breakfast in the classroom program feeds nearly 200,000 students. There was talk that the district might eliminate the program. But the LA Times reports that a majority of school board members will vote to keep it in place. Today, parents and workers at a South LA school rallied in favor of the program, as Nick Berman reports.
Members from the SEIU, the union that supports cafeteria workers, gathered today outside of Hooper Elementary School in South LA. Parents who were dropping off their kids at school joined them, holding signs and banging on drums to raise awareness for breakfast in the classroom.
We ought to give kids the fuel and the brain power to be able to fully concentrate.
That was Courtney Pugh, executive director of SEIU Local 99. She hopes the school board will vote to continue the program. It provides free food for LAUSD students who may otherwise not eat breakfast.
Why do you think breakfast is important?
Because it's healthy.
That was Delilah, a Hooper Elementary School student who receives breakfast every morning under the program. Dr. Roger Clemens is a nutrition expert who agrees with Delilah.
Not only does breakfast provide improved academic performance, we know that, in fact, it provides social ability, they provide better nutrition, it provides improved attitude towards people.
The United Teachers Los Angeles Union agrees students should receive breakfast, but believes there are serious problems with the program. UTLA Communications Director Suzanne Spurgeon explains.
There's been an increase in sanitation issues, bugs, sloppy classrooms, and the other thing is the impact it's having on instructional time. And we're looking for solutions to those issues going forward.
UTLA has sent out photos showing moldy food that they say teachers have found. The school board is set to vote on the program May 14th. The SEIU is worried that if the program is cut, almost 1,000 cafeteria workers will be laid off. Delilah hopes the board will vote to continue the program so she can still have her favorite breakfast item.
Banana bread.
Parents and SEIU members are planning to rally again at Hoover Elementary School on Wednesday and Shenandoah Elementary on Thursday. Nick Berman, Annenberg Radio News.
President Barack Obama announced today that a bipartisan Senate bill meets his basic criteria for immigration reform. Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona was one of the so-called Gang of Eight that wrote the bill. McCain was at USC today, and as Faith Miller reports, he talked about how to get House Republicans to pass the compromise.
John McCain sat beside Democratic Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado. It's a sign of how the work they've done on this bill has crossed party lines. They spoke in front of a huge red and gold sign emblazoned with the USC Schwarzenegger Institute's logo. Arnold Schwarzenegger himself kicked off the Institute's forum about immigration reform.
When we work together and when we work without fear, nothing can stop us. So that's why I know we will solve this issue. I know that this year we will have immigration reform.
The bill the two senators and the rest of the Gang of Eight wrote includes a path to citizenship. That would affect the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S. today. It also promises to better secure the border. That could win over hesitant conservatives. But McCain says he's doing even more to get the bill to pass.
Well, I appeal to the better angels of their nature that we shouldn't have 11 million people washing around in our society in the shadows, the exploitation, the failure to know who they are and what they're doing, but I also appeal to their base instincts.
He says Republicans know the Hispanic vote can no longer be ignored. But he says passing the bill won't automatically win them voters.
But if we don't do this, you can't begin the conversation with our Hispanic voters, and all you have to do is the math.
McCain's other tactic is calling attention to crimes happening along the border. So-called coyotes take advantage of people who want to cross illegally. They offer to help them, then kidnap and hold them hostage for ransom.
This is what America is supposed to be about not allowing in our own country the abuse of people in unspeakable ways. And so I'm trying to appeal to my Republican colleagues that we have a tradition of speaking up for human rights and doing what we can.
Senate Leader Harry Reid of Nevada promises to bring the bill to the Senate floor for a vote by June. Faith Miller, Annenberg Radio News.
It wasn't just a fire drill on the USC campus this morning. The university reported that overheated equipment on the fourth floor of the engineering school's Vivian Hall caused heat and smoke that set off the fire alarms and the sprinkler system. The fire department came to help clean up. Vivian Hall is closed until further notice. And more new USC news. The suspect in a Halloween shooting on the USC campus was in court today. His pretrial hearing was postponed. But as Emily Mattu reports, family and friends say he's been unfairly targeted.
On Halloween night, USC students were confronted with the grim reality that violence could penetrate their beloved campus. The shooting at a party in the heart of campus forced a complete lockdown for hours. Olivia Heinley is an executive producer at Annenberg TV News. She was one of the first on scene to cover the incident.
It was very, like, eerie because it was only a giant group of people that were at the party, but they were all quiet, and then just a ton of cop cars everywhere.
The suspected shooter is 19-year-old Brandon Spencer. He was working as a security guard at the Halloween party. Prosecutors say he pulled out a handgun after an argument broke out, injuring himself and three others, none of whom were USC students. Spencer has pleaded not guilty. Friends and family called a news conference before today's scheduled hearing to maintain his innocence. Family members were reportedly stuck in traffic and didn't show up. But Dr. Herbert Baker did. He has known Spencer since he was 15 and is the Grand Master of a Masonic lodge that Spencer was a member of. The lodge is a worldwide fraternity that emphasizes charity work and self-improvement.
I've always known him to be a very energetic, you know, well-thought-of person in the neighborhood. He's not a gangbanger, you know, in the traditional sense where you think he's out shooting people and doing things like that.
The prosecution does see evidence of gang ties. Spencer is facing four charges of attempted and premeditated murder, in addition to gang enhancement. Today's pretrial was postponed until May 29th. Making headway is a slow process, but I guess that's how we've come to know the legal system. Spencer is still in jail as the road to his trial continues. Emily Mattu, Annenberg Radio News.
They say April showers bring May flowers, and we'll have something like that this week. Today's partly cloudy and cool weather won't be around long. Later this week, we'll have sunny skies and highs in the 80s and low 90s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll be hearing about the latest exhibit at LA's Museum of Contemporary Art. Emotions ran high at a packed chamber in City Hall today. The LA City Council voted 10-3 in favor of a controversial plan to modernize LAX. As Denise Guerra reports, residents opposed to the plan were out in full force.
LA City Councilman Herb Wesson repeatedly called the room to order as the City Council debated a highly contentious $4.8 billion plan to modernize LAX. The plan includes improvements for terminals and expanded roadways to include possible public transportation directly into the airport. At the heart of the debate is the airport's plan to expand the north runway 260 feet closer to neighboring areas of Westchester and Playa del Rey. LAX officials say this is needed to accommodate larger aircraft and improve safety conditions. But residents aren't convinced LAX properly studied the impacts of noise, traffic, and pollution that the expansion would create. Kat Davis is a resident of Westchester.
This was bad. Making this vote today as a yes vote was bad public policy. I cannot believe the city council, by making that vote, they went hand in hand, who basically is giving the community, the residents, the finger.
Business and union leaders applauded the council's decision. Labor organizer Vidal Arce says modernization will add thousands of jobs.
Same token, you know. Look at the other side. How many jobs are going to be created? How many people are going to be put to work in this economy? That's what we need right now.
Councilman Bill Rosendahl, whose district is most affected by the runway expansion, said the plan fails to address the need for regional improvements to LA's other airports to remove the burden from LAX. Opponents plan to continue fighting, but with the green light from the LA City Council, the next step is approval from the Federal Aviation Administration and the LA County Board of Supervisors. Denise Guerra, Annenberg Radio News.
An exciting week of athletics is coming to a close at USC. The men's golf team is the fifth Trojan sport to compete for a Pac-12 conference title in the last year. Evan Budrovich has the story.
Some of the best golfers in the world are taking the course at the prestigious LA Country Club. It's located nearly a shot off the tee from the campus of UCLA. Yet USC head coach Chris Zambry says the Trojans know the course like the back of their hand.
LA Country Club is one of our home courses. It's a place we probably play 2 to 3 times a month, which means we've got some kids here in our lineup who've been playing there for years.
USC is teeing off with 5 of the top 12 teams in the nation, making this competition no walk in the park. The Trojans are embracing this challenge.
So we're just going to have to be great, and it's good. It forces us to get better and to dig a little deeper. You know, we like the competition because I know it's going to make them better.
Men's golf is still searching for their first national championship. Yet Coach Zambry reminds us that golf is much more than just winning titles.
These kids want to come to college. They want to experience USC. They want to get an education. A lot of what they want also is to become a PGA Tour player. And if we're playing well every week or every time we tee it up, then that means their hopes and their goals are being fulfilled. And that's what we want.
The Trojans currently sit on the outside looking in for title contention. But head coach Zambry already has the bigger picture in mind.
In the end, I want kids playing great, and you know, for our benefit, for their benefit, and so part of that means you're winning all year long.
The final day of action starts tomorrow morning as the Trojans look to build momentum for the national championship qualifiers beginning on May 16th. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
For students in continuation high schools, graduation day can have a special meaning. Continuation schools are for students who are at risk of not getting their diploma. Luis Torres attends a continuation school in Pasadena. He'll graduate this winter. And in this installment of our Grad Day LA series, Trisha Tonko brings us the story of a young man who hopes boxing will help lift him out of poverty.
It's 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, and Luis trains at his neighborhood boxing gym. He comes here often, 5 days a week, for at least 2 hours each time. With an intense workout, he conditions his body with crunches, dumbbell lifts, and push-ups. At the end, he spars with his coach or one of the other boxers. Today, he's fighting in the ring, but Luis has spent most of his teenage years fighting in the streets and getting into all kinds of trouble. He's 17 and has been in jail 4 times.
First 3 times, 4 for residential burglary. And the last one was for attempted residential burglary.
It was fast money. It was a lot of money. I got like $900 in one house or more in one day. And that's just one day. We'll go ahead like 3-4 houses.
At a shopping plaza near his house, Luis passes by a place he knows all too well.
We're in Pasadena City Hall. That's where I go to court at. But I've been here at this courthouse every month since, I think, 08. I'm at this courthouse. I know every floor in this courthouse, everything. My two daughters, that's what made me want to change, you know. I don't want to be a deputy there too, you know. No, I'm not trying to be in jail the rest of my life, so.
The 17-year-old lights up when he talks about his children.
I have two daughters. One's Kayla Darlene, the other one's Caroline Marie. The oldest is Kayla, and she's 2 years old. The youngest is Caroline, which is 7 months.
He has a large, elaborate tattoo of Kayla's name in cursive on his left arm. He says it's a symbol of the permanent effect his children have had on him. For him, boxing is not only a passion, but also an opportunity to provide for his family.
And, you know, boxers make good money, you know, when they start coming up. So, you know, I'm gonna need that couple million.
And, you know, he has a career if he doesn't mind getting hit.
Luis's coach, Fausto De La Torre, says the young man has a real gift.
It takes a special kind of person to get hit and continue to stay in here, to keep coming. Out of maybe 100, you get 2 guys, and he's that one. He meets that percentage.
Well, I'm not scared to get hit. I like to go in and get hit. Or, like, when I get hit, it just turns me on, you know, like, I don't know, it just snaps. Like, something just snaps in my head to, like, protect yourself, you know. You just do what you gotta do.
When he's boxing, Luis is intensely focused. He's completely present in the moment. But thinking about what the future holds is more difficult.
I don't really think about the future. I just let it go by. Like, the days I let it go by, I don't try to think that much. I'll be getting frustrated by everything. Because I'll be like, man, I ain't got no job. What am I going to do? I got to pay rent. So I don't be trying to think that much.
School has been another source of stress for Luis.
School doesn't interest me, like, at all. I don't have no type of, like, you know, favorite subject or anything like that. I go to school because I'm trying to finish school, you know. And I really don't think about none of that because I've been trying to get a job and stuff, so, like, I haven't focused on, like, what I want to be or something like that.
With 5 more months of school left, Luis is pushing through to get his diploma. After that, he's not sure what comes next. For practicality, he's considering plumbing as a backup career, but he worries he might get too bored. Instead, Luis might take drawing classes. He likes to doodle designs in his notebooks, but doubts his artistic talent. For now, he just wants to keep fighting. For his passion, for his kids, for the victory itself. Trisha Tonko, Annenberg Radio News.
News from Cuba today. A wide-scale hunger strike among detainees has prompted a statement from President Obama on Guantanamo Bay. The president has renewed his vow to close the Navy base during his time in office. I spoke with David Kay, an expert in international criminal law. Kay worked for the State Department after 9/11. And we're talking about Guantanamo Bay today.
That's good.
Which you have.
I mean, not that Guantanamo is good, but I'm glad that's why you're calling me.
All right, the naval base at Guantanamo Bay. Can you explain what it is and what happens there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a regular naval facility. It's something that the United States has held for, you know, for decades and decades. And in 2001, it was identified as a place to hold individuals who might be associated with Al-Qaeda.
And now Obama came out this morning once again pledging to explore what his administration could do to close Guantanamo.
The president's statement this morning, it was really great on many levels, and he does not speak much on Guantanamo. He hasn't spoken this fully about it really since the beginning of his administration in a lot of respects.
Is he talking about it now because of the hunger strike?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the hunger strike. And in fact, in Guantanamo, we've had hunger strikes, you know, on a pretty regular basis.
Right,
from the very
beginning.
Right, but this is the first time where we've had such an extensive hunger strike.
So that's the difference.
You know, like 100 people are involved. And the problem is, there's nothing that's happened over the last few years to change the calculus, you know, on the Hill in terms of closure. So, and in part, this is because the president hasn't said much about it. I mean, he has not made it an issue at all.
Do you think there's going to be some real action as a result of what Obama has said today?
Yeah, no, there will be something that happens. The president has made it clear to his administration, people who've already been cleared for release, you know, send them back home. you know, that's going to be the first effort, right? I mean, there's a contradiction in a way in what he said. So, you know, what he said this morning was, you know, it's going to get worse over time. This is contrary to who we are. It's contrary to our interests and all that.
Yeah, he said, why are we doing this? And that was a pretty interesting statement, yeah.
I mean, if he just wanted to release everybody, I think he could. The president's statement, as good as it is, doesn't really get to that last group. You know, those people who the administration has indicated that they're not going to release even if they don't prosecute. And,
okay, you know, right. So even if Guantanamo is closed, these people aren't going to be in a radically different situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, you know, even if everybody down there is a terrorist, and that's you know, demonstrably not the case, we have a responsibility to rise above them and to provide them with treatment that's consistent with our values.
David Kaye, professor in the University of California at Irvine School of Law. Thank you for talking with me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
A new retrospective at the Museum of Contemporary Art celebrates the work of Swiss-born artist Urs Fischer. The exhibit is in two of MoCA's venues. Stella Chung visited one of the exhibit's installations and has this review.
The question of where does art begin and where does it end is not a problem for Urs Fischer. For Fischer, art is everywhere. His visionary works contort our reality, linking back to the pop art, surrealist, and Dada movements. Fischer's retrospective at MoCA explores disarray and distortedness. Fischer is known for transforming elegant and simple items into disfigured sculptures. One installation, called Untitled, a colorful pastel bed, sits in the middle of the room, the bed frame mangled. In a separate room, a bed folds into a pile of gray rubble. In Frozen Pioneer, a pink lamp post appears to be melting and sagging. While visiting the Fischer retrospective, you might notice a strange yeasty smell permeating the gallery. If you want to find the source of the smell, take a better look at Fischer's Bread House, a massive structure made entirely from bread. This isn't the only instance Fischer showcases his love for food as art. Lie to Dog features a wedge of cheese with a bolt running through the center. In another work, an array of fruit hangs a few inches off the ground. Fischer flaunts his sense of humor with his two problem paintings, the problem being a lemon slice and a banana peel obstructing the subjects of the two portraits. Fischer's retrospective leaves you feeling a little bit of everything: curiosity, confusion, happiness, and mostly awe. His explorative and ambitious use of the MoCA gallery should inspire viewers to consider the art present in everyday life. The exhibit will run until August 19 at MoCA Grand Avenue in the Geffen Contemporary. Admission is $7, and you can visit MoCA.org for more information. Stella Chung, Annenberg Radio News.
It's a special day for another LA radio host.
Hey, good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock. I can't believe it, but it really feels good. Thank you, Los Angeles. It's a summer hits weekend, baby.
Shotgun Tom Kelly is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. He's worked in the radio business in California for 40 years and has hosted the afternoon show on LA's K-Earth 101 since 1997. Keep clicking on our website, AnnenbergRadio.org, for more news about South Los Angeles. And remember to follow us on Twitter at Annenberg Radio. Now we're checking in with Chaya Nene to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Chaya?
Thanks, Graham. Coming up at 6, get details about the car chase that happened right next to the USC's campus. Hear what Obama has to say about his first 100 days of his second presidential term, and find out about the renovation plan that was just approved at LAX.
Thanks, Chaya. That's it for this Tuesday and for the semester. Thanks to our Tuesday crew, Nick Berman, Edvin Budrovich, Jerome Campbell, Denise Guerra, Cliff Liu, Emily Mattu, Faith Miller, James Santelli, Camille Simmons, Max Schwartz, and Sam Weiser. Also thanks to ATVN and Sandy Tolan's radio documentary class. Kat Boza produces the arts and culture segment, and Catherine Davis is our fearless newscast producer. Our executive producer is Aaron Schrank, and Joel Zink is our one and only technical guru. Happy birthday to Ben Schrank. Special thanks to Cheryl Deep, God, Susan Berman, and my brother Gordon. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Graham Clark.